morning, CTK. How's everyone this morning? Good. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all of you mamas and ladies out there. It's a joy to get to worship with you this morning and to be able to bring the word on my first Mother's Day today. Exciting. So it's a joy to be with you all today and to get to celebrate in that with you. My little guy, Jackie's back in the nursery right now, just soaking it all in, kids ministry back there. But what a joy that God's given us to be able to be moms biologically or through adoption or just through the people that he's able to put in our lives to be able to mentor and to invest in. And so today we celebrate you mamas. But today, as you saw in the Roland video, we are continuing in our series, So Now What? So now what? So since Easter, we've been in this series thinking on since the resurrection, since Jesus has risen from the dead, now what, right? And so we're looking at these different passages since Jesus is resurrected and is meeting up with the disciples. They see each other, one-on-one encounters. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Craig talked about how doubting Thomas, how he needed to know, he needed proof to be able to see the scars in Jesus' arms and his hands. In his side. And last week about Peter, as he came and he had denied Jesus three times, and then how Jesus comes to him after the resurrection and said, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Then feed my sheep." But we see of like how the word love that's used there, how it was different from the first time asking and then the third time, and Jesus is coming down onto his level of understanding the relationship and the connection that they had at that time. So we're going to continue diving in to where we see in Scripture in these final days before Jesus ascends into heaven of these encounters with his disciples and these final words that he shared to them, and also the weight of these words and the power that they have on our lives as well. If we think about the final words that someone says, it should be impactful, right? It should carry weight. If we think about sending our kids out of the door on their way to school or out to the bus stop, or kids as they're heading out on their own and we're dropping them off at college someday, those words, you're wanting them to carry weight with them as they go, right? You know, be on your best behavior today, or, you know, Jesus loves you. We hope that they remember that as they head out on their way. Or in the final days as we are with loved ones before they've passed, the final words that those people have shared with us, they're ones that we continue to remember to this day, right? The strength and that you muster up to be able to in your weakness to be able to share those final words that you're leaving with someone carries a lot of weight. So Jesus knew that he was about to leave the disciples at this time, and these are the final words that he was sharing with them. So for them, this should carry a weight because this is right before he's about to ascend into heaven. And for us as well, as we read these words and as we open the word and are able to see those today, may they carry a weight with us as well as to the call and the commission and the mission that Jesus is calling us to. So today we're going to start and we're going to open up to Acts chapter 1. Some of these will be on the screen, or if you want to open your Bible app or your Bibles and follow along today, we'll open up with Acts chapter 1. Verses 6 through 8, and it says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.'" So in this, the disciples, they start with a question, right? So are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's not time for you to know everything or to know all of the future or to know all that's about to happen. And he reels them back in this moment. And he says, hey, all authority is on me. And here's the mission that I've called you to. And here's the power that will be with you when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And they would have understood this context of talking about Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth because it's the region they lived in right now. So you'll see in this image on the screen a little bit of the context of all of those places. Jerusalem would have been this city here that you can kind of see in the upper right. Jerusalem is in the region of Judea. Samaria, another region to the north of them. And Samaria, you think of the Samaritans in the Bible. We know the story about the woman at the well. Jesus encounters her at the well in the heat of the day. And the disciples are, you talk to who? right? The Samaritans were not the ones that they talked with all the time. They were not the ones that they had a lot in common with or that they met with together. They were different from them. And then to the ends of the earth, this would have been people who spoke other languages, people who lived culturally and socially different from them. And so we start from this inner circle of Jerusalem, people near, people close, people that were like them culturally or had the same beliefs, then the wider region, then out to people different from you, and then all the way to the ends of the earth. And so they would have understood this, and Jesus is reining them back in to say, hey, this is what you need to be doing right now. We don't need to be worried and concerned about all of the things in the future, but we need to be focusing on this right now and the mission that I have for you, not all of the political matters, not what kingdom is going to be in power. If my kingdom's coming, if I am the king of the world right now as you are expecting it to happen, or if Rome is still overseeing all of this and you're stuck under that reign. But he calls him back in and says, it's not all about the political things or all of the earthly things right now, but it's these spiritual things and my mission that has a weight. So we think about this also, not just geographically of where God has called us to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, but also if we think about it relationally, we can think about our inner circle of our Jerusalem, of being our family. God has called us to be witnesses to our family, to our kids, to our spouses, to our closest friends or coworkers, potentially, to those that we have mentorship relationships with. And that matters. So we're going to talk a little bit today, and especially on in honor of Mother's Day, about what that looks like. What does it look like for us to be witnesses to our own families and to think about those spiritual things, to not just be caught up in the things of politics or the things of the earthly things or the things going on around us or the things that are in the future. But God says, I want to reel you back in. I want you right here on these spiritual matters and on what I have you, I have you right now in the present. We're not going to worry about all to come because there's plenty of things that we can worry about in the future, right? Or even in our parenting of wondering, how's it going to turn out for my children when you're worried right now or may feel ill-equipped? But Jesus is saying, I've given you the power of the Holy Spirit to go with you, and I've called you to be these witnesses right now in this time, not to worry about all those things, but to think right here. So as we move on in Acts chapter 1, we read 6 through 8, moving into verse 9, it says, and he looked at and when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So they're standing there, literally Jesus' last words that he's spoken to them, and he ascends into heaven, and they're standing there in disbelief a bit, knowing that Jesus, their friend, their master, their rabbi, their teacher, he's gone. And they stand a little petrified, not knowing what to do next. And sometimes we may feel in that too. What's the next move? I feel stuck where I am right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. But the angels, they came to the disciples and they say, hey, quit just staring up in the sky. Like, let's get on with it. And God is saying the same thing to us too, that we don't need to just stand twiddling our thumbs or looking up at the sky, but we have a mission that we have been called to, and it's time to take action. That we may have questions, just like the disciples did, and we may have uncertainty about what the future looks like, but God says, I have authority over all of the things right now, and I have given you the power of my Holy Spirit to live with you. Live in that. And let's go right now. Go be those witnesses to your children, to your family, to your siblings, to your parents, to your friends. Take that with you. So the disciples, they understood this ask. And we know that they didn't stay in their questions or in their doubts or in their worries about the future and what all that held. And the same is true for you, to know that when we look at this, the disciples, they didn't stay there because we look at the whole book of Acts and we see how the disciples and Paul, they did. They carried the word. They took their witness and they took it out from there of Jerusalem, and they went and they carried the word out and the gospel, and new churches were started, new churches were planted, and we know about God's day because it spread, right? So they didn't stay there stuck, staring at the sky or stuck with their questions, but they moved into action. And even if in our own questions today, we may feel that we don't have the answers or know how to share about God, but what is a witness? A witness is someone that has seen something firsthand and experienced this, and they're able to share about that, right? It's not, oh, well, you know, this person saw it, and then they told me about it, and then I get to share it with you, right? This is a firsthand account. You are able to share your witness with your kids, with your spouses and your family. How has God made an impact on your life? How have you experienced Jesus? This isn't, I need to go to seminary, I need to know all the word, I need to go all of this text, and once I've read it thoroughly, I'm going to feel equipped and ready, and then I can go and I can share with my family about it. No, we're not all going to get there, right? And that's not what Jesus is calling us to, necessarily. Some of us are, but we are equipped because the whole power of the Holy Spirit comes within us, and we take what we know, the experiences that we have of Jesus working in our life, of seeing how he healed someone when things were looking so tough. We see how he provided when we didn't have enough. We see how he paved a way in ways in our life, and we're able to share those things, to tell our kids when they're little or when they're big, hey, you know, I experienced God in this way. Isn't that amazing? That's how God works in my life. He can do that in your life too. We can encourage them when they're living in their anxieties or their worries to say, hey, I've seen when God moved this way in your life. God is faithful. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he will continue to work in your life. We can share our witness, and we can take it, and we can take that to our spouse. We can take that to our children. We can take it to those closest to us, because that's something that we have, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to share. So there's three points that are in your sermon notes and will be on the screen. This flows in one order, and it won't go backwards. So number one, we are to receive the Holy Spirit. And we're going to talk about this more next week, so be here next Sunday. Pastor Craig's going to keep diving in about the Holy Spirit and how it came at Pentecost to the believers. But through the Holy Spirit, when we accept God in our lives, the Holy Spirit enters into our lives, and we're changed. We have that partner, that one equipping us, living inside of us. But then secondly, the Holy Spirit gives us power. We receive the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit gives us power. And then thirdly, we're able to then witness, and we see the results. Jesus isn't calling us on our own strength to muster up and be able to just go and share and do that on our own. He has sent us the Holy Spirit, just like he promised to the disciples. We have the Holy Spirit as well. So don't try to do it on your own. You're not alone. You're not out there on your own. Even though you feel it, the Holy Spirit is living and working inside of you. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And through that, we're able to witness and see the results. These seeds that we plant in the lives of those around us as a witness will have fruit down the road. It may not be immediate, but that everyday consistency, starting right now, today, living in the present, as Jesus had called the disciples to, that'll make ripple effects down the road, and we'll see the change, right? That we aren't to live as little Christians, as the same five-year-old self of how our maturity in Christ was, the same today, right? That it may be basic what the little ones are learning back there in Sunday school right now, but once they get to fifth grade, it kind of steps up a little bit. And once we move in here as youth and as adults, we're able to learn even more, and hopefully on our own time, diving into the word and in prayer, we grow spiritually. And so maybe today you've never talked about how Jesus has moved in your life, or able to kind of share what that witness is, or think about that testimony of how God has changed you. But I challenge you to that today, because years down the road, you're going to see, wow, that's when I started truly intentionally sharing about who God was, and I see how that's changed my family. But it takes starting, and that can start today. I look back and I think about in high school, in ninth grade in our biology class, my teacher had given out superlatives at the end of the semester, and the one that I got which I don't really love or agree with, but it was kind of true, was the most likely to never talk. So I was like, I talk, but I was much quieter then, and was just, I paid attention in class, and I did my work, and I kind of just moved on, and that was that. But then I look back here now, and I never would have imagined in ninth grade that I would be standing up here today giving a message. But I give that credit of the power of the Holy Spirit moving in my life and the power that I receive from him working and moving and equipping me and me growing in spiritual maturity over the years to take me to where I am here now. So if I look back 16 years ago, I don't want to be a 14-year-old Christian anymore. I want to today be a 30-year-old Christian that has moved and changed. And I think about when I was in youth group back then here at CDK, that I feel more equipped to share God's word now than I did then because I've grown. So if you think about yourself right now and that you're still living as a 5-year-old Christian, let's go. Let's quit staring at the sky and let's get into action, right? So think about that right now. Is it time for me to truly start moving and growing in my Christian relationship with the Lord and maturing in that? But it just starts today. It's not too late. And even if your kids are grown at this point, it's not too late to start planting those seeds of Jesus in their life. It's not too late. Or even with your spouse. Maybe they've never come with you to church yet and they're not ready to. But there's times and moments and there's a relationship that you have with them at home that you can begin speaking in the truths of who Jesus is into their life and you'll see how God moves in a real way. So I pray that boldness for you, just as the disciples, to move out of the doubt and the questions and maybe some fears of the future and start acting and moving into taking action today. We're going to move into Matthew and to what Jesus shares then with the disciples and what we think about as the Great Commission. So Matthew 28, 16 through 20, it says, "Now as the 11 disciples went to Galilee, the mountain to which Jesus had directed them, and when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So there's a lot we see here about the disciples and some of their disbelief, but God's calling them into action. We see this as well in the Gospel of Mark. This one, if you want to open up on your own, it won't be on the screen, but Mark 16, 14 through 16 is the Great Commission according to Mark, and it says, "Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at table, and he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go out into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned.'" Then into verse 19, we see how Jesus ascends into heaven. And so here, according to Mark, according to Matthew, and according to Luke, as he writes it in Acts, here's Jesus' final words that we're able to see, and we get to know, hey, these are weighty words. What does it mean for us right now? And what can we learn from the disciples and how they then went and took action? So what are some of the characteristics we see here of the disciples in these passages? In Matthew 28, we see that they saw him and they worshiped him, but some also doubted. They're worshiping, they're doubting. In Mark, we see that he rebuked them from their unbelief and their hardness of heart. So there's a lot going on here, right? There's a lot of doubt they're coming into with. There's unbelief, the hardness of heart. You know, sometimes we live with that too, don't we? That we don't always have it all together. That we're not always ready quite yet to hear the action that God's calling us to. That maybe we're doubting, is God really there for me? Maybe because of hard things that have happened, our hearts have hardened to the move of God or to his power. But even the disciples in this moment, when they were feeling all of these things, they didn't stay there. Because Jesus then calls them to action. He calls them to go. He calls them to make disciples. He calls them to baptize and to teach. And we know when we read through the book of Acts that these things happened, right? The disciples, they went and they preached and they taught and they baptized and the world was changed. They went and they made disciples of all nations. So are you living in doubt? Are you living in unbelief? Is your heart hardened? I think we need to recognize first these things and know you got the power of the Holy Spirit that God is giving you to help you move from this disbelief, from this hardness of heart, from this doubt, and move into action and see the results just like the disciples did. The disciples struggled with the same thing. It's not new. We can look through the whole Bible and we see about Abraham and Noah and Joseph and David and Peter and Paul, and we see how their lives were not perfect at all. They messed up. They doubted. They were proud people. They called people out, and Jesus had to redirect, or God had to redirect them and use them in amazing ways. The same is true with you. You're not disqualified because of your past. You're not disqualified because of your sin, because we're all going to still be sinners, but yet Jesus died on the cross. We celebrate the resurrection because we know that our sins are forgiven. And we can live into that forgiveness and know, wow, God, you choose me even though whatever. Because God does. He chooses you despite any of those things, the doubt, the disbelief, the sin, the bad things that may have happened. God is calling you forward. So discipleship. Matthew says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Even at home, Jack, when I talk about like, yeah, we just need to be discipling. It's such a churchy word. It kind of is. So what's discipleship? We got to understand it to be able to do it, right? Discipleship. It's the process of helping someone be more like Jesus. We can all do that, right? It's just the process of helping someone to be more like Jesus. So from a littlest one, from little baby Jack at 9 months old, I can disciple him right now just as I can an adult. It's better that I start now. And there's moments, and there may be, it's like, can you really disciple a baby? Yeah, you really can. And sometimes I think, you know, there's little things that I'll speak over him and think, I don't know if it's necessarily settling in or is he going to remember these things? But even at 9 months old, you see him just look into you, and he's listening, and they're growing. They're like little sponges. And so I challenge you, there is no age too young, and there is no age too old that we cannot disciple, that we cannot help someone to be more like Jesus, that we cannot just speak scripture over their lives and encourage them. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are good. That from a little one, that they would know, wow, I'm chosen, I'm special, I'm unique, just like God made me. Or wow, like Jackie, even your smile right now as a baby, what joy it brings to other people. Your life brings joy. That is a gift that God has given you. And to speak those things into your children's lives. So I want to talk about right now a little bit of how can we disciple our families, those closest to us? How do we be a witness to those closest in proximity, the who's God put in our lives? So a few points. Number one, read scripture. Read scripture. We can be in the word. We can open this up together. We can start our day not by all the notifications on the phone or by the tasks that need to be done in the day, but opening the word together, having devotion time in the morning, opening it up. And we may not understand all of it, but we can dive in and we can learn. And there's a staff here that are happy to hear your questions. And we may not have all the answers either, but sometimes through prayer, we're able to encounter even more. So don't stop because you don't understand it, but dive in, learn it together, open as a family. Maybe you read books to your kids before they go to bed at night, but maybe instead of just the little stories, open your Bible. There's a bunch of stories in here that we can learn together too and that you can share with your kids and let those dwell in their heart. There's a lot of crazy stories in here too, so pick and choose, but open that together with your kids. It's amazing of the word that we can just share with our kids right now and let that flow into their lives. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And so here, the commands that God has given them, he's saying, put them everywhere that you're going to see them to be reminders. So maybe that's what you can do, to open it, to let it be how you start your day, or to write scripture and put it on the dash of your car so that when you get in to head out on your day, that you have these truths that you can look to encourage you and to instruct you and to guide you on the right path. Maybe it's getting a dry erase marker I used to do and just write on my bathroom mirror. It washes off really easy, but you can write. The first thing you do during the day as you're getting yourself ready, you see these words on your mirror of truth, of scripture, and you write it where you're going to see it and where it is going to guide you. Maybe it's writing sticky notes and sticking it on the inside of your cabinet doors and you open up to grab some cereal in the morning and there it is. Here's this truth of don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, present your request to God. That today is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. How is this that you can bring scripture into your life, that you can bring it to your kids, bring it to your spouse, open the word together, and let it flow into your life? Secondly, pray together. Pray together. You may say, praying together, I don't pray out loud. It's just something between me and God. There is power in that, in the intimacy of praying and just lifting up your requests to God in an intimate space. But I challenge you, if you've never done that before, if you've never prayed out loud, maybe just start by yourself praying out loud in your closet. But even if it feels uncomfortable right now, it'll get easier with practice. So practice it, and then go to your spouse, or go to a friend, or with your kids. And it may start short, and it'll grow from there. But open your heart to God. It's just your relationship, you talking with God. It's just communication. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." It really removes that anxiety. We can't be anxious and pray at the same time. When we're lifting something up to God, it takes it and puts it in his hands instead of us carrying the weight of it. And that peace will flood over us. Luke 11, 9 through 13 says, "And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him?" We don't have it perfectly as parents, do we? No. But God is the perfect parent. And when we ask him, his gifts are good. We want to give good things to our child, right? But like this says, don't fear what God's going to do. He's going to do it better than we can, right? And it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to ask and he's going to give us everything that we want. But there creates this closeness with him when we do ask and seek and knock and present the requests before the Lord. Even when the hard things are going on in life and you may not feel like you have the words to be able to even lift up to God, just start. Just bring it to God. Because as we want to be problem solvers, we can't always fix all the things, can we? And God doesn't want us to. He wants us to lift it up and put it in his hands. So ask him. In those moments when you don't have the words, just say, "God, confess it. I don't know. But I present them to you and ask them of you." Pray these things over your children at night. Pray these blessings over them. God, may they rest in your blessing and the goodness of who you are and your protection tonight. Or as you send them off to school in the mornings, God, and you just lift it up to them. Where are these moments that you can add in your everyday, these moments of prayer with your spouse, with your children, with your close friends? and present them to God. And thirdly, discipline in light of the gospel. And so this really relates as it is to parenting, but thinking about this, God does discipline us. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves." Discipline is necessary, and it's something, discipline and discipleship, they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. And so it's necessary to form us into the way that Jesus wants us, into this process of making us more like Jesus as we discipline, as we correct, and as we guide our children on the right path. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." It's how you're correcting now that will lead them to remember those things down the road and to not leave that. There's things even now as adults that, you know, parents, I still get guided and helped and to lead on the path that I need to be on. So it's never too late. If that's not something that you did as your kids were little, there's still ways that you can speak into your life as you read scripture or text scripture to your children, as you pray for them. Even this morning, my parents had texted, "Hey, praying for you in the final sermon prep today." You know, even as adults, we need that from our parents. So don't feel like it's too late. It's never too late to start and to encourage, to read the scripture over them, to pray over them. And then this as well, is just to discipline in light of the gospel. Think of it this way. Think of two little guys as they're heading off to bed, and they share a room, and then they decide that they want to have a little slumber party, and so one grabs all of his stuffed animals and his pillows, and he climbs into the other's bed, and dad's put them to bed, and he hears these little footsteps upstairs and goes back in to check on them and says, "Well, you know, this is fine, but just make sure that, you know, you guys are quiet. You need to go to sleep." And so he leaves them. An hour later, there's still a little pitter-patter, and there's voices upstairs, and he goes back and says, "You weren't able to be quiet, so head back to your own beds," and that's that. And then the next night, they go back up, and he says, "You know, good night, guys, love you." And they say, can we sleep with each other again tonight? Can we have a slumber party in my bed?" He says, "Well, you know, you couldn't do that last night, so tonight we're not going to do that, all right? You weren't able to obey then." And so says good night, heads down. And then you hear the little pitter-patter of feet and go upstairs and open the door and turn the light on and catch them red-handed with their pillows, move into the other one's bed and they stop in their tracks. But then you're able to take these moments not to rebuke and in anger say, "You didn't listen to me. Get back in your bed. That's it." But instead, in a way of disciplining in light of the gospel, as that father, he's able to say, "Did you on purpose disobey me?" "Yeah." Because they knew what was requested of them, right? I said, "Yeah, I disobeyed." And the dad can follow through with, "You know that was wrong, right?" "Yeah." "Do you know that I still love you?" "Yeah." "Do you know that God loves you?" "Yeah." "Do you know that God forgives you?" "Yeah." "Do you know that I forgive you?" "Yeah." And then they embrace and they hug and they know that there's redemption in this moment. Not sitting in the anger of the Father or not going to bed knowing that I'm a disobedient child, but knowing I'm still loved. That my earthly daddy loves me, my heavenly Father loves me, and I live in the forgiveness that they carry on me, right? It may not be easy moments. It may have been a long day and think, "Okay, the kids are in bed. I just have this time to myself." And to just go in, turn on the lights, catch them red-handed, and send them back to bed. But disciplining in light of the gospel is pausing in those moments and taking the time to disciple them in those things and let them to know the love of a father, the forgiveness of a father, and the restoration, the redemption that we have in that. So take those moments. Take those moments to be intentional with your children. It may be a temper tantrum in the middle of the grocery store aisle, and it may not be the prime time to disciple, but it is. It may not be easy, But pause in those moments because they matter. They matter. In his book, Habits of the Household, by Justin Whitmell Early, he says, moments of discipline are so hard because there is such a wide gap between what I want and what they need. What I want is control, but what they need is loving, engaged discipline. And discipline is not a tool for controlling behavior. It's a process of discipling a child's heart toward the right loves. But this is the radical job of a parent, to take ordinary moments of discipline and stitch them into a life of discipleship. Dead battery. Ephesians 6:4 says, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. So I encourage you today, do not fear, do not doubt. Start today. Discipling your children, discipling in your family, because that is what God's called us to. These are his final words. We are to be a witness by our account of who Jesus is in our life. And we are able to go and we are able to share that this love of Jesus to our families, to those that we mentor, those who we're in close relationship with our friends. God puts these people around us and we can step into action today. But know that the disciples, they want to know the future, right? We may want to know the future, but God calls us to the present, to take action today, and to know that his Holy Spirit equips us to do that. So live into that today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift up this time to you, Lord. We thank you for the truth of your scripture. We thank you for your word, that it helps to instruct us. Thank you for forgiving us, even in our unbelief and even in our doubt. Even with our questions, God, that we are able to come before you with them, that you accept us as we are. But Lord, help us move into action today to share our witness and to disciple those around us. Lord, thank you for giving us and sending us the power of your Holy Spirit, the power at work within us to be able to do that. Lord, I thank you for all of the moms in the room. We celebrate them today. Lord, we thank you for the roles that they play in their little ones' lives or their grown ones. But God, we thank you for who you are, for your grace, for your forgiveness, for your resurrection, and that we would live into that in the truth and the hope of you today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.